you know, it's tradition, maybe it's cliche, but end of the year, kind of look back. We do these end of year story review sort of things. And for a guy like me who lives in the moment, that's tough because I don't know. What happened last year, right? But we're going to talk a little bit on the financial side. Maybe later on I'll have some time. I want to share, as I look back on the year, the disappointment in the medical establishment, the educational, behavioral establishment, a couple of points to share there. Good news for me, look back, the spirit of collaboration seems to be more alive and well than ever before, and people still care very deeply about each other. But first off, it's the economy, it's finances. What went right? What went wrong? What do you do about 2023 today on Voices of Montana?
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Schultz. Nice. Great. Cody, thank you. Appreciate that. Splendid. Splendid to have you along. 2 decades strong, working on 3. We'll keep at it. We'll keep just slugging away as we need to. 2023's upcoming legislative session. Yeah, it's a big thing. We'll be there. We'll do a lot of special reports, too. But I'm going to look back a little bit on this year that was. And later on, I might share some things from some reporters across the state of Montana if I have time. But I've been wanting to do this for a while here. And we know Mike Vondra, Michael Vondra, certified financial planner, has got a career. In fact, kind of a generational type of career in financial planning, a third generation financial planner. And it's a pleasure to have you back on. Michael, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. How you doing?
Hey, Tom, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Yeah, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's. It's great to be on with you today.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, if I go 2022, you look back and what went right and then what went wrong. That's probably the only two questions I'm ever going to get in for the entire hour. So what went right? What went wrong in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny as I thought, you know, as I've thought about this last year, I can come up with a pile of things that went wrong. It's a little harder to come up with the stuff that went right, but you know, we'll kind of do our best to wrap our heads around it, Tom. But you know, just in summary, where we're at on the year, as we, you know, basically have two trading days left in the year here, Thursday and then tomorrow, Friday, left in the year for the capital markets. The S&P 500 sits at about 20% decline. Nice, even number for us to wrap our heads around. 20% decline. The S&P came into the year at about a 4,800 level, and it's going to end the year at about 3,800, right? That's about a 20% decline. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the sectors inside of that I'll highlight, energy was up 60%. Obviously, we know the narrative there. But I'll even point out that utilities were flat on the year, and the consumer staples sector was flat on the year as well. So think like toilet paper, right? In terms of the worst performing sectors, I'll highlight consumer discretionary. So things like, you know, travel, entertainment, think iPads, things like that are discretionary. That sector was down 37%. The communications sector was down 40%. And the technology sector was down 28%. So we had the better performing sectors. We had the worst performing sectors. Stocks as a whole took about a fifth of their value, fell in losses. And then, you know, so we talked stock market. Now let's talk bond market real quick. Bond market down 12% on the year. That is a profound number, down less than stocks. But I think we need to understand the magnitude of that. We have never, the worst year in the past 50 years that bonds have ever had in the past 50 years was -3. We're about to end at -12. So just a profoundly disappointing year for the bond market, Tom. But that's where we recap things. And from here, I can get into kind of what went right, what went wrong inside of those numbers, if you'd like me to.
And let's go into that a little bit more. Energy up 60%, although, and I know they pulled that, they factored that out of our inflation costs. That just, it makes, I think, everything in the market unstable to at least a certain degree. You look at the discretionary. And so I'm curious to go into maybe that one, because I've always felt that if you too much of our consumer or services economy can be rely too much on discretionary spending, and when the budgets get tight, discretionary spending will fall. How do you feel like whatever it is, 66, 67, maybe 70% of our economy is consumerism based? That's probably a little over the number that you're comfortable with. But when you look back at some of those numbers, in particular discretionary, what do you see?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. About 70% of our economy is consumer driven, and you know, I to a certain degree, I'm okay with that, because it's kind of beats the alternatives, right? Because if the consumer fails, then what other body is going to step in and make up for that? And Typically, it's the government. And I'm all for supporting our government, but I would confess to you in the audience, I'm not a big government guy, Tom. So I would say that I'd rather, if I were choosing between, you know, who's going to drive the economic heartbeat of our economy, consumer versus the government, I'd much rather our economy run through the consumer rather than government stimulus. But I do think that the consumer has really had a wake up moment here in 2022. I think that this inflationary crisis has really gripped the consumer, and we, you know, to that effect, we actually saw mid-year consumer sentiment drop to its lowest point ever. We actually declined further than we did back in the late 70s, early 80s. That was the prior low. The University of Michigan does this big, long-standing consumer sentiment study, and we've never been below 50 on this scale. Our average is sat in the 87% range, 87, not percent, 87 on this metric. And we actually dropped below 50 for the first time ever. We shattered the record set in the late 70s, early 80s. Mm. And so I think the consumer has really mentally has really started to confront this fact that, oh my gosh, things are bad out there. This inflationary deal is bad out there, you know, and that's really shown up in the markets.
And to me, being an optimist, there's a bright side to that, because I think when you look at, you sort of hit on it a little bit, people have expectations about the market. And they have been maybe artificially inflated over the years because of good economic conditions and policies. So this long range, maybe right sizing of the market, and I know you talk about an index out there. It's kind of like cost to profit per stock sort of thing. There could be some long range right sizing of this market because our expectations are going to be rebalanced.
Yeah, Tom, gosh, I feel like you've probably got my notes sitting right in front of you right there. So that is going back to kind of what we talked about, what went right. That is actually one of the highlights of 2022, in my opinion, is that I think stock market valuations, or we'll call it equity values, have actually gotten back to their long-term sustainable price point. So on average, the stock market has traded at about 16 and a half times its earnings. And what I mean by that is typically a stock price can trade at 16 and a half times its earnings per share, or profits per share, like you said. And that has been that's a way for us to say, okay, if its earnings are going up, so too should its share price. If its earnings, or if its profits are going down, then so too should its share price. Mm-hmm. And coming into this year, we were at about a 21 multiple, 21 times its profits, and the stock market was trading at. That's unsustainably high. And so I think one of the bright spots has actually been that a 20% decline in stock prices has actually got us back to remarkably close to our long-term trend line. And I think that will lay the foundation for possibly avoiding a bigger market catastrophe, you know, a big 50, 60, 70% market decline. That's a bubble characteristic. And that's, I think, as investors, that's what we really want to avoid, is any kind of a bubble, because what do we know about bubbles? Well, they eventually burst.
And they can crop up in places that cause difficulty. I'm going to talk about bubbles perhaps in the energy and utility sector. We're talking with Mike Bondra, certified financial planner, born and raised in Montana, family here, wife Jenny, two sons and one daughter, passionate family man, as well as faith in the community. So I don't know how you look at this energy sector, and I suppose it's been volatile for quite a while, or maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think investors can at least understand that there's going to be some volatility in the energy sector. How do you do they create bubbles then that are temporary, short-term, but can have maybe some long-term investing effects? Give us a sense of where energy it was in 2022, Mike, and then where it could be in 2023.
Yeah, energy got really expensive, obviously. We all, you know, we saw it at the gas pump. We, you know, I think we were all painfully aware of it. And then the problem with skyrocketing energy prices is that that component flows through to basically every single other good or service, right? Like that steak sitting on your plate that had to get there somehow, right? Like that was transported through numerous parts of the supply chain, and it was energy that backed that the transportation of that good or service, right? So like energy is just it's just the undercurrent of our entire economic system. So when energy prices skyrocket, yeah, I guess the energy sector did really great, 60% up. Thanks a lot, Mike. But it's kicking my butt and everywhere else mm-hmm. in my life. And so that's an unfortunate reality. Energy is very much a supply and demand game, though. It's basic economics, right? So when you have massive supply in terms of money chasing too few goods, you're going to have price spikes. And then when you have this major disruption in the energy landscape in Europe, Russia, and Ukraine, and that whole dynamic has gotten, you know, obviously that got very crazy over the past year. You got pipelines that get shut down, you get pipelines that get blown up. So we think energy will eventually counter cycle and prices will moderate, but certainly through these winter months and certainly with the geopolitical tensions that still exist out there and the inefficiencies of some of the other energies that they're trying to evolve, we still see energy staying fairly expensive for at least in the near term.
And we'll take a break and come on back with more, and I'll throw out this term and we'll see how much we really do understand it. I think it's going to be on the lighter side of things, ESG, environmental, social, and governmental policies, and how our major capital investors like BlackRock are following ESG policies, possibly to the detriment of their consumers. Back with more in a bit.
When you're looking for traction from a farm tire, check out the hard-working, earth-gripping 23-degree Firestone tire. 23-degree tread bars take advantage of the added torque of today's high-horsepower tractor and prove superior to 45-degree tread bars in performance and productivity. Save more time, burn less fuel, be more productive with the 23-degree Firestone tire.
Firestone and Tire-Rama, the leader in the field, only at your local Montana and Wyoming Tire-Rama store.
More info on how that federal spending package might affect Montana. Brian Bennett from the Northern News Network, keeping you connected. That's ahead. Tom Schultz alongside. Thank you for being here. We are from Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana. Mike Bondra is with us, certified financial planners. We're looking back at 2022. What went right, wrong, expectations for 2023, how to kind of be proactive in this. And I'm looking forward to that discussion too, Mike, you know, as we look ahead, how to be prepared, things like that. Want to go and see as we think about what happened in 2022. I think we recognize that these big market investors like BlackRock and Vanguard, they have adopted, whether it's written policy or not, ESG, and it's a phrase I'm going to have you explain because I think it has probably as much economic and financial significance as it's going to have in anything in our planet. But how does these major investment companies focusing on ESG policies, which may not be vetted, end up, I guess, in the long run?
Yeah, Tom, it's a great question. It's something that I get asked about this fairly regularly. And I'm happy to, I'm really happy to kind of confront this topic. So ESG, environmental, ESG is an acronym. It stands for environmental, social, and governance. And this is a movement that actually kind of stems back all the way to the 60s and 70s. Actually, it's got its roots quite a long ways back. We have always been trying to, I don't know, control corporate America. As investors, we've tried to control culture through different mediums. Mm-hmm. And corporate America is one of the major channels that we can control. We try to control culture. And so something that has come up in really over the past decade, it's become much more prevalent, is rating companies based on certain factors. Now, I'm a fundamentalist, so I can look at a company and not know really anything about the company and tell you about the quality of the company. I can, if you give me their balance sheet and their income statement, I can tell you what you need to know about that company. Culture has obviously decided to take that one step further, and they want to talk about the ESG factors, the environmental factors of that company, the social factors of that company, and the governance factors of that company. And so they assign these ESG scores. Now, I'll say this, Tom. As it relates to ESG, I think the heart behind ESG is not altogether bad. I'm not saying that ESG, the heart behind it, is bad. I just think, like many things, it's actually kind of been spun to a fairly one-sided agenda, and it's not a very balanced approach. And quite frankly, I will come back and just say, like, BlackRock, Vanguard, whoever's, you know, managing and really paying attention to these ESG scores, I don't know that demographically they represent me or my clients or Montanans. And that just in general makes me feel uncomfortable. Even if they did have my agenda in mind, demographically, that doesn't actually represent the population as a whole. And then that, again, we're back to, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Does that make sense, Tom?
Yes, it does. Yep. Yep. So, and this is where we're at. Long-term effects, I think, is what people are looking at. I touched upon a story in an interview with Troy Downing, Montana Securities Commissioner, regarding ESG, and there is some investment restrictions when it comes to utilities, and I think utilities is an area where ESG, unless you have it codified and it's not just some sort of concept, could be real troublesome down the road.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of layers of complexity to these issues. I think that, yeah, it's these big companies. So, if I'm BlackRock and I go, hey, we can buy up X number of shares of, you know, Montana Dakota Utilities, MDU stock, and we can then infiltrate their board of directors, and then we can influence the C-suite executives to look a certain way and waddle a certain way and quack a certain way, and then we can virtue signal to all of our investors that we are, you know, changing the culture because of these things. Now, I just painted a fairly extreme example, but I think that's what could happen there. And it's not just MDU, it's Exxon, there's a bunch of really significant companies that, you know, are big companies, but they're small when it comes to BlackRock taking their trillions of dollars under management and throwing their weight around. So it can be very dangerous. Thankfully, I think investigative journalism, which, Tom, I think there's a certain element of what you do that is investigative journalism, I think is really hot on this trail, man. And they are calling these people out. I was on a conference call with BlackRock 2 weeks ago, and man alive, they were taking fire. They have got the spotlight on these guys right now, and they are recoiling pretty significantly right now.
Good. I like that. I think there's one thing that we have seen over the past couple of years, but last year, as I look back, I mean, we have realized there's power in pushing back. And
Yeah. You just got to ask questions, and you know, we can be kind about it, but yeah. I think it's really wise to ask questions, shine the light, get that stuff out of the darkness, bring it into the light, and let's talk about it.
All right, I'm going to take a break and come on back and save enough time to put this on our plate. As you open up this playbook for 2023, what does Mike Vondra see? Certified financial planner, we're back with more.
This is Ernie Johnson Jr. Sports is about overcoming obstacles, and college coaches work hard to help young men overcome Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's called Coach to Cure MD, and you can help. Text the word CURE to 501-501 to donate $25 on your next mobile phone bill, or go online to coachtocuremd.org. Text the word CURE to 501-501. Help coaches cure MD.
Brought to you by the American Football Coaches Association.
All right, what do we expect in 2023? We're going to look at, you look back, and again, Mike Bondra's with us here, certified financial planner. We talked about 2022, some of those things, S&P with 20% decline. In general, there were energy up 60%, but utilities were flat, consumer staples flat, discretionary travel was down, even tech was down. Given all of that, Michael, and again, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. God bless you and your new year and the family, and appreciate our relationship here. Open up that playbook. How do you keep Mike Vondra's family moving forward in 2023? And that might be advice for all of us here in Montana, too.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And God bless you guys as well. It's fun to have this relationship with you, and I'm always just a call away if you and your audience need some perspective on the market
without BS. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, try to strip through that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah, I know it.
So Tom, I'll kind of just give you, you know, perspective that Jenny and I are, you know, I've talked through, and just authentic conversations I'm having with my clients right now. The first thing I'm going to start out with is a little bit of a wet blanket, and I'm just going to tell people, and I'm preparing myself for this economic storm to last not just a little bit longer, but possibly a lot longer. Mm-hmm. The average stock market downturn, going all the way back to the Great Depression in the 1920s, the average stock market downturn has lasted 20 months. We're about 12 months in now. This started January 3rd of this year, 2022. So we're 12 months in, but the average has lasted 20 months. So that, I mean, we could blow right past the average. We could come up short of the average. That's really hard to say, but I do think as investors, we need to be prepared for the negativity as it relates to the markets and the economy. We need to be prepared for that to continue. So where does that lead us to, though? I think that what we all as investors, we need to do is try to get some perspective. As investors, you should not be focused on the short-term stock market. You can be focused on your short-term finances, but you should not be focused on the short-term stock market. For that, we need to elevate our perspective. Now, we just said valuations are back down into more of a healthy range. I think that lays a foundation for us to have a much better stock market over the next 5 or 10 years. But notice, I didn't say 5 or 10 days or 5 or 10 months. I'm just saying we need to elevate our perspective with our investments, get back to the basics. One of the things that Jenny and I are doing with our personal finances is we've triple checked our budget. Where's our money going? How much is going where? Are we living within our means? Are we still saving the amount that we need to save in order to accomplish our long-term financial goals? That's not just a corporate tagline. People really need to be able to do that right now, Tom. Take a look at your budget. Make sure you have enough in cash. Make sure you have enough of an emergency fund, which again, I always recommend is 3 to 6 months worth of your fixed expenses. If you feel like you need a little more than that, hey, go 9 months, go 12 months if you need to. Now, don't have more than that though, because that probably means you're not investing the way that you need to be investing for your long-term financial goals, right? Which are, hey, I want to retire in 5 years, or hey, I want to retire in 20 years, or hey, I want to put my kid through college, or hey, I want to, you know, whatever, I want to buy a cabin, or hey, whatever it is, you need to make sure that you've got enough in your emergency fund, that you're living within your means, and then invest the rest, man. You're buying the stock market at, again, a 20% decline, or the bond market at a 12% decline. 2 years from now, 4 years from now, I can guarantee you, Tom, we're probably going to be begging for today's prices.
and I appreciate that. And you got to have that long-range sense as well. And it's tough because money can be so fleeting. I guess we just got about a minute left here, but and this will take a long, but what would you like to see out of this session, this legislative session, the policies that could help Montana economically? And I didn't give you enough time for that.
Well, no, and that's a good question. When I talk to a couple of friends of mine that are in the legislature, I'm very hopeful about where we're at as Montana. Gianforte has been very positive about where we're at. I think we have an actual opportunity here to make some progress. I think a lot of times in the past, they've just focused on defense. And so I'm actually very optimistic that Montanans will actually have some progress. I'm excited as a state to have a balanced budget and possibly be out of debt in 2023. I think that's huge. I do think we have a mental health problem here, just globally, but close to home, I think we got a lot of mental health issues here, and I think we need to confront that as Montanans. And your show has been big on that. It's a topic that's close to home for me, and so I do think taking care of that population is an extremely important thing. I'd love
Mike Vondra, certified financial planner. Going to cut you off there with apologies, but we'll talk to you down the road.